to see him because he had heard that he was recovered from his sickness, and how that Hezekiah made no mention of the wonders that God had done unto his soul, but that he took these ambassadors and began to show them all his treasures, all his gold and his silver and the spices and the house of his armor. There wasn't anything in the land of Judah and in the city of Jerusalem that he did not show to these ambassadors. This proves to us that Hezekiah likewise was a man of like passions as we are. And he forgot what God had done to him. He had such substance to talk about and to glorify this God in heaven for forgiving his sins, for giving him joy and peace in believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. He had found such a wonderful blessing, and here his lips was closed. He said nothing to these ambassadors about this, but he was lifted up in his pride, as the Bible says, and he showed them all his treasures, all his riches. He had more up with what the people had given him than with what God had done for him. Oh, how sad this was, that Hezekiah had done this. Are you any better, my hearers? Are we any better by nature? Well, there may be some listening to me who likewise have experienced the wonders of God's grace, of his mercy, of his love to your immortal soul. He has delivered you time and again. He has given you such joy and such comfort in your heart to believe that you are one of his children. And oh, where are you today? What is your life today? Are you talking about these wonders? Are you glorifying this God that looked upon you in mercy and pity and in compassion? Or are you leaving God on one side, and are you running away after the vanities of this world, after the pleasures of this life, forgetting God who had been so good to you? Hezekiah was lifted up in his pride, and this is what he did. And God came to him with Isaiah. Isaiah spoke to him and said, "Who are these men? Where did they come from?" "Oh," he says, "they came from a far country." "And what did you show them?" "There isn't anything that I didn't show them," he says, "that we have in this country. I showed them everything." "Behold," Isaiah says, "listen to the word of the Lord. This is what God says. The days come in which these Babylonians will come and take away all the gold and all the silver and all the treasures that you show to these people. And likewise, they will take your sons, which will issue from you, and bring them into Babylon, and they will be slaves in the palace of the king of Babylon." This was the message of God to him. And we find that God came in with the message by Hebrews. This is the wonder of it. He wasn't like the other kings. The other kings, they paid no attention to what God said. They went on in their sins, but not with Hezekiah. No, it pleased God to bring home the words of Isaiah to his heart. We read so distinctly in the book of Chronicles that Hezekiah, he humbled himself greatly before God. He and his people, all together, they became a repenting people. And God said that he would not bring the evil and the wrath upon them, but in the days of his son. Oh, my hearers, what a mercy. What a wonder this was. When we consider how many kings had been warned by God, by his prophets, by his seers, and it took no effect. But here we have a king, glory be God, that he was deeply humbled under it. And he accepted the word of God from the mouth of Isaiah. Has God ever come to any of you? Has he ever spoken to any of you, my hearers? He does speak to every one of us. He comes to us in and through the mouth of the ministry, in and through his word, He's coming to you and through the feeble instrument that's standing before you. He came to Hezekiah, and Hezekiah humbled himself. Have you ever been humbled? Have you ever accepted the word of God? Have you ever come to him and said, Lord, you're just, you're righteous, I'm a sinner, I deserve to be damned. Oh, you're the potter and I'm the clay. And what a wonder if you do not damn me. This is what I merit. Have you been given to accept the word of God in this way, my hearers? Oh, what a mercy it is when we fall under the word. And this is what Hezekiah did. He said, will it not be good if there is peace and truth in my days? And we find that Hezekiah, this king, he was richly blessed by God with an abundance of riches. And likewise, he did very much good unto the tribe of Judah and to the city of Jerusalem. He was richly blessed, and he blessed likewise the people with what God gave him materially. And in his days there was peace and prosperity. But now the time came that Hezekiah had to die. God had said unto him, I will give 15 years to thy life. And now the 15th year was up. As I said to you last week, he was the only man that you read of in the Bible that knew when he was going to die. And this was the year that Hezekiah was to die. He didn't know what day, he didn't know which way, but he knew that his time was up. Oh, my hearers, there's a day coming that you and I have to die. We don't know either. We don't know what time God might come and take our life away. And now Hezekiah, he had been a wonderful king. The Bible says of him that there was none like him before him or after him that trusted so in the Lord God of Israel and that clave unto God and did his commandments which he had given by the mouth of Moses. And now this good king, he knew he had to die. He had been given one son, according to the Bible. That's the only son that we read of. And this son was born 3 years after he had been recovered from his sickness. Hezekiah was 42 years of age when he received his son Manasseh. Hezekiah was 54 years of age when he died. He wasn't too old. Hezekiah died. Blessed are they that die in the Lord, my hearers. The Bible says, mark the perfect man and the upright man, for the end of that man shall be peace. And so it was with this man. He was honored, he was respected by all the people in Judah and in Jerusalem. And they buried him with great honors. They laid him in one of the chiefest of the sepulchers of his father David. And all Judah and Jerusalem paid him honor. Oh, he was a wonderful king for these people. And they admired him and they loved him. And they did this for him when he died. Oh, may you and I likewise be given the same grace that this man had, Hezekiah. And that we likewise may be given to live and do that which is right in the sight of the Lord. And then may we likewise be given to die in peace. For the end of our life likewise will be peace if we have that same principle in us which Hezekiah had. And now Hezekiah passed away, and his son Manasseh reigned in his stead. And Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Hephzibah. From this we gather that it does not appear that Hezekiah had any other children. This was the only son. And likewise, he must have had only one wife. The name of Manasseh means forgetfulness. I am forgotten. A very appropriate meaning for the name of Hezekiah. How he forgot God, how he forgot his instruction that his father gave him, and oh, how he forgot what he was supposed to do as a king. This woman that Hezekiah was married to, her name was Hephzibah. The meaning of her name is my desire is towards thee. It appears that she was the only wife that he had. Hezekiah then, he had this son Manasseh. He didn't become king until he was 12 years of age, very young to be king. But he reigned the longest of all the kings that were placed upon the throne of Judah. Many a wicked king God had taken away in his wrath. But here we have one of the most wickedest kings, and he was continued 55 years, the longest of them all. Manasseh, being very young, one would think that he would have walked in the footsteps of his father. His father had been a God-fearing man and had shined out in holiness. And now we have his son becoming king in his place, and it is said of him, and he done that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. We cannot attribute this to his being a youth. Some do, but we cannot excuse him for being a wicked king, because he had a grandson which followed him by the name of Josiah, and he was only 8 years of age. And we read of him that he did that which was good in the sight of the Lord. But here we have this Manasseh doing that which was evil in the sight of God. But what did he do? He immediately began to do things contrary to what his father had done. His father had broken down the high places at which Israel had been worshiping for a long, long time. No king had ever attempted to tear down these high places, but Hezekiah did. And now this Manasseh, he began immediately to build up these high places. And he made Israel or Judah to worship at these places. He began likewise to build altars unto Baal, an idol. He began likewise to rear up altars unto all sorts of idols and images, worse than what the heathens worship, whom God had destroyed before the face of the Israelites. He gave himself over unto all sorts of superstition. He worshipped, according to what we read, he gave himself over to witchcraft, unto wizards, unto those that believed in magic. He built altars unto these gods, and he put them in the courts of the house of the Lord. He likewise built an image himself and carved it out and brought it into the house of God. That temple that God had given Solomon to build, and which God had said that he had placed his name there forever. Here this young man, he puts an idol in this temple and commands Judah and the people in Jerusalem to worship there. He was a notorious and a wicked idolater. Not only did he cause Israel to err and to sin and to worship idols, but he was a bloodthirsty king. If they didn't do what he told them to do, he would have them killed. The history tells us that the streets of Jerusalem were deluged, were flooded with blood of the people that he had murdered. How awful, my hearers, to have such a wicked king reigning over you. History tells us that he took this very blessed prophet Isaiah, took him and put him in the hollow of a tree, and he had him sawn asunder, cut to pieces. Imagine this. This is what this wicked Manasseh did. The apostle speaks about this in Hebrews 11, and some were sawn asunder, and this is what was done to Isaiah by Manasseh. My hearers, something you and I can't fathom. Isaiah and Manasseh in heaven. And still it's true. And Manasseh, he then did that which was evil and wicked in the sight of God. He had a wicked heart, and out of this heart flowed all this idolatry and all this sin and iniquity. Is his heart any better than yours and mine? Honor, my hearers, that you and I don't come down on our knees and worship idols and bow before things like they did. It is only the common goodness and grace of God over us. We got the same thing within us, all we're such evil, sinful creatures. Left to ourselves, we would be probably a second Manasseh. This young man, he was not restrained. He was let loose, and he gave vent to everything that he found in his heart. What a mercy that God don't let you and I loose. Or you wouldn't dare tell people what goes on in your heart, and you wouldn't want to be let loose to do the things that come up in you. Oh, no. Thanks be to God even for his common grace over us. But this young man, he did everything that came out of his wicked heart. And now God came to him and spoke to him by the prophets and by the seers that lived at that time. He warned them. He spoke to them, to the people, and likewise to the king. But the king, he gave no heed. He did not listen. He wasn't like his father. I just spoke to you about Hezekiah. Isaiah came to him and spoke to him about what was going to happen, and he humbled himself, but not Manasseh. He did not humble himself under the word of God. How many of you do this? How many times hasn't God come with his word to use? And has it ever humbled you? Have you ever fell under the word? What a mercy if it has been so with you. And this man, Manasseh, he went on in his sin. Went on against all admonitions, all warnings that he received from a God of love. How awful, my hearers. Oh, please, don't go on in your sins. Please, listen to the voice of God when it comes to you. And turn back to him. He is a merciful God. He has no delight in the death of any one of us. This man, Manasseh, not listening to God and not listening to the prophets, God came. And he brought upon him the captains of the host of the Assyrians. And they came and they began to do what God had said would take place by the mouth of Isaiah. He had spoken to Hezekiah and said, that these Babylonians, they would come, and they would take all the riches away, and they would take his sons and take them prisoner and bring them to Babylon. God is a God that keeps his word, even if it be a word of judgment. Have you a word from God for your own immortal soul? Are you troubled about it? Do you think he'll never keep it? Oh, he keeps his word, my hearers, unto a thousand generations. He's a true God. And now Manasseh, he was taken prisoner by the captains of this Babylonish army. And they took him and they bound him with fetters and with manacles. They manacled him. They put chains around him. Imagine the king being taken prisoner. He who had been such a wonderful king, had such authority, such power, who had caused so many people to bow under his authority, he lost his authority. He was no king anymore. He was a prisoner. He was taken by this army and taken into the city of Babylon. Before this, the Assyrian army had surrounded the city of Jerusalem. In the time of his father, and his father had brought the thing to God. And God was entreated of his father, and God caused the Assyrian army to be slaughtered by an angel from heaven. But now when this Assyrian army came, there was no prayer. There was no bringing it to God. The judgments of God came down upon Manasseh and upon his people. For they were plundered, they were deprived of everything that they had. And their king was taken prisoner. in this far-off city, Babylon. And the Bible doesn't say who the king was at that time over the Assyrian people. And it don't give us any account of what year that this took place in the reign of Manasseh. But he was taken prisoner and carried away into this far-off city, Babylon. And when he was brought into prison, and we find, according to the second book of Chronicles, the 33rd chapter, that in this prison, a great wonder happened. But the Bible doesn't give us any account either of what went on in the man's heart and what went on in his soul. Nothing. It just says that when he was brought into affliction, then he humbled himself before God greatly. And he supplicated unto God and was entreated of him. And God heard him. And God brought him out of prison, brought him back into his own country, and set him up on the throne of Israel again. When Manasseh was carried here into this prison, in this condition, you may be sure he had this thought, this is the end of me. Here I'm going to die. He never had any thoughts about God. He never had any thoughts about what his father had prayed for him. Manasseh was given in this prison to reflect upon his past life. He was brought to himself like the prodigal son that you read of. He began to think, oh, what have I done? I've brought this upon myself. I've sinned against God. Oh, my sins, what have I done, what have I done? He was brought into true conviction of sin, this Manasseh. And he humbled himself greatly before God. He began to condemn himself, condemn what he had done. He was worthy of condemnation. And he began to supplicate, he began to pray unto God. And my hearers, one would think, would God listen to such a creature? Now you just listen to me a minute, if you can. And I'll give you what I think about the matter, and what you would think too. But wouldn't God have been righteous and just if he had said to him, what? You pray to me? You seeking mercy from me? You who did so many sins and lived such an awful life and murdered so many people, you coming to me? Don't you deserve what you have? Isn't it righteous if I bring upon you my wrath, my indignation to the uttermost? Does God talk like that, my hearers? Ah, no, we have a wonderful God in heaven, my hearers. You know, if it was you and I and somebody done something to us like that, that's what we would do. We would talk like that. You got what you deserve, and you deserve more than that. But not God. Oh, no. This God who is rich in mercy, unto all that call upon him, that call upon him in truth, he looked down from heaven upon this monster of iniquity, this murderer, this wicked idolater, all my hearers. And what did God say of him? I think God said of him, as you read in the book of Canticles, Song of Solomon, let me hear thy voice, let me see thy countenance, for thy voice is sweet, and thy countenance comely. This is the delight of God, my hearers, to see a sinner humbled in the dust, condemning himself and praying unto God for mercy. Have I such sinners amongst me? Have I such that are doing this? Oh, my hearers, how few there are. How few want to hear the worst of their case. Oh, if I could picture out to you what you are and what you have become in and through sin, and you could accept this and could say before God, it's worse than what the man is even saying of me. Oh, there ain't a bigger monster of iniquity in this world than me. This is where we have to be brought, my hearers. This is where God brought Manasseh. He was given to confess his sins in uprightness, in honesty, and from his whole heart. Oh, and this is such a wonderful thing, my hearers, when this takes place. You know, if it could be said of any one of you, behold, he or she prayeth. There is a God very near unto such a soul who is a God that heareth prayer. And God heard his supplication. God was entreated of him. Oh, who could think that God would listen to such a creature? Have you ever been there? Have you ever pictured yourself like that and said, well, what a wonder that God ever listened to such a monster of sin like you and I? God listened to the prayer and to the supplication of Manasseh. He was entreated of God. And what did God do? God not only forgave his sins, God not only gave him true repentance, but God delivered him out of his captivity. God delivered him out of the prison that he was in, and God brought him back to the throne upon which he had been in Jerusalem. What a wonderful God, my hearers. This is what he does for his people. Oh, if you may be one of his people, there's a day coming when he will deliver you out of your captivity. Are you in captivity? Are you in prison? How does some poor soul's here that is saying, oh, yeah, Manasseh, he was heard. Manasseh, he was answered, but me, I don't know. I pray in the daytime, and I cry at night, but I don't get no answer. And it doesn't seem as if I ever will get an answer. Are you one of such souls, praying, crying, sighing to God to be saved, to be delivered from your sins? Have you about come to the spot where you're ready to give it all up and think it's useless, it's hopeless? Oh, my hearers, that's where we have to be brought. Then it pleases God to look down and inspire in our hearts true prayer, true sighs, true groans. Are you such a sighing, such a crying, such a groaning soul? Oh, let me encourage you if I can, by the help of God. Keep on. There never was a person that was brought by the Spirit of God like Manasseh to humble himself before God, to be given to confess your sins. So that God did not hear, that God did not save. There's hope for such souls. Keep on, poor praying soul. Even if you have to pray, even to the end of your life. And then it may be that God may be entreated of you. But then you will be taken into that glorious city, Jerusalem. Oh, they are blessed creatures in all their misery, in all their guilt, in all their sin, who feel us and cry to God because they can't deliver themselves. Manasseh, this king, he was a vessel of mercy. He was one that was chosen by God from all eternity. He was one that was loved with an everlasting love, and that's why God listened to him. That's why God put prayer into his soul. That's why God brought him back upon the throne of Jerusalem. God wanted to reveal his glory, his majesty, in the conversion and in the repentance of this man, Manasseh. Manasseh was given to return, and when he returned back to Jerusalem, he immediately began a reformation. He began to tear down what he had broken up. All the idols that he had built, and all the altars that he had built, and all the images that he had built, he tore them all to pieces, and he threw them and destroyed them out of the city. Oh, you could imagine what was going on amongst the people. The people were saying, well, what's the matter with our king? He did all this himself. He built all these things, and now he's tearing them to pieces, and now he's destroying them. And Not only did he do that, my hearers, but he built an altar in the house of the Lord. And he offered up peace offerings and thank offerings. And he commanded Judah and Jerusalem to serve and to worship the Lord God of Israel. Oh, you can imagine what these people were saying. Why did God do this? Why, the fruits of this new life had to be revealed in his life outwardly. What God had done came out outwardly. Everybody seen this. It was noticeable to everybody that a wonder had taken place in this man's life. And what he was doing now was that he wanted everybody to love this God, to fear this God, to worship this God, and to serve this God. I'm sure if you have experienced something like this, you would want everybody to do this. This is what Manasseh wanted. He wanted his people to do what he was doing. My hearers, Manasseh, he experienced a wonder of God's grace, of his love, of his mercy. May I ask you, have you ever experienced such a wonder in your life? Has God ever come to you? Has God ever given you repentance? Has he ever put into your heart true prayer unto himself? Has he ever given you the return back to him? Have you begun to do like Manasseh did? Oh, you couldn't go on any longer in your outward sins. You began to break off with your sins. You began to break off with your companions who you served sin and served the world with. No, you couldn't serve sin any longer. You hated it. You wanted to be rid of it. Oh, you see, my hearers, when faith is given unto a person and love is joined with it, it reveals itself in its outward life. Manasseh, he began to reform the country. Of course, he must have had much opposition. You can believe this. Most of the people didn't want to go along with what he did. The Reformation wasn't complete. It wasn't an entire one. Oh, no. Just because he was converted and he was turned back to God, do not think that all the people wanted to go along with him. And now if you have this experience in your life, you may be married, you may have children, you may have a husband, or you may have a wife. And if God has come into your heart, then you wish that they all would do that. Or you want them all to serve God. And you speak to them, and you warn them, and you admonish them in love. You mean well. But oh, you find so much opposition. Oh, so much that comes up against this life that God has planted in your very soul. You know, Manasseh, he was a son that had a God-fearing father. And you may be sure that this father carried this son up to God so many times in prayer and in supplication. I'm sure if you have the fear of God in your soul, you've got children, oh, you bring them to God. I know with my own case, it's only with the mouth most of the time. It's only God that can give us prayer for our children, true prayer. But they are our flesh and blood. We love them, and we attempt to bring them to God. And I'm sure Hezekiah brought his son many times with prayer and supplication to God, fervently. And he never seen the result of it. Oh, if this poor man had been given to live and to see what his son did, oh, how it would have tore his heart to pieces. How he would have cried and wept that God ever gave him such a wicked son. Have I parents listening to me? You may have had children. And I know from infancy we try to bring our children up according to what we have promised before God in the congregation. And we try to bring them up in the fear, in the nurture, in the admonition of God. I know we're all very lax in this. We're all very sinful in it. But our attempts, we mean well with them. And how many parents listening to me have seen when they get older, the children, when they become of age, Some of them, they turn away from all religion. They don't want any part of it. Some, they marry someone of another faith. Some, they turn away, but they join a church where you can serve God and serve mammon. This is what they like, something for the flesh and something for God. And then they hold their Christianity, we would say, this way. And oh, believe me, if you're a parent that has a fear of God, and if this is taking place in your family, oh, you can't imagine what a broken heart a parent receives after all the love and affection that they have showered down upon their children in trying to rear them up in the right way. What a mercy if you have children that want to walk in the right way. Are there some children here whose parents are teaching them the right way? Listen to them. They mean well to you. They mean your eternal welfare. Be obedient to your parents. And may God in his infinite mercy remember you as he did Manasseh. You know, many a God-fearing parent never sees the fruit of their prayers. It pleases God after they're dead and buried to sometimes come into the hearts of those who have been brought to the throne of God, and God remembers their prayers. He remembered Manasseh. He remembered the prayers of Hezekiah. There may be some listening to me who likewise had such parents. And the time may come in your life that God will remember you. That he has this little book in heaven. Such and such a name was brought before me. Oh, such and such a name is in my book. It's in the Lamb's Book of Life. And down comes God at the appointed time and puts life into such a person's soul. And this is what happened to Manasseh. And may this happen to every one of us that are listening to me this afternoon. The Lord give you a conversion. It doesn't have to be like Manasseh's, but it does inwardly have to be. God bless my feeble instruction this afternoon to your souls. That's all for today.